This is Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars with Trevor Long and Stephen Fennick. Thanks to NRMA Insurance and Uniden.
That's us, Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars, proudly brought to you by NRMA Insurance, helping over 3 million people across Australia protect the things they care about. And Uniden Smart Dash Cams with a brand new range, including a 5K dash cam for the ultimate in quality and picture quality with a Sony Starvis sensor. So good quality dash cams from Uniden and the whole range. We'll tell you more about them shortly. Stephen, welcome.
G'day, Trev.
Great to have your company. Techguy.com.au if people want to get in touch with Stephen. EFTM.com if you want to get in touch with us, because we love to hear from you. We love to hear from EV owners. We love to hear from people who are thinking about getting into EVs. And you know what? If you're a conspiracy theorist and you hate EVs, this is a very weird podcast to be to subscribe to, I'll be honest with you. But bring it on. Let's have that chat.
Yeah, we'd like to hear from
everybody. I'm happy to say anything I say in the comments of a YouTube video, TikTok. I'm happy to say. In fact, I'd be love to have that chat.
Live on the show, really.
I think it'd be a great discussion. Yeah. As long as you're willing to have an open conversation where you listen, we ask, you answer, we answer. As long as it's back and forth, we're
fair
all
enough.
Good.
Fair
Bring
enough.
It on, I say.
Yeah, fair enough.
Speaking of back and forth and a bit of drama. A bit of drama at the Federal Chamber of Automotive Industries.
Yep.
Now, for people that don't know, this is the group that essentially is the industry representative body. Now, what that means is essentially they come up with policy discussions with government where there's self-regulation required. They do that. They're a body that represents the industry in wherever it needs to be represented. They also are the body that brings together all the sales figures. And I'm just going to park that information because I don't know how what we're about to say affects that. But I believe most of what we're about to say doesn't affect that. And the car companies that have withdrawn from the FCAI will still report their car figures, though Tesla seems to indicate that might end in June. But what's happened here is a few weeks ago, we talked about the federal government's new vehicle emission policy.
Yep.
Concept being a company like Toyota. It will be judged on their overall fleet of sales and the average emissions among them and whether or not they have to pay a fine because they're emitting too much into the environment.
So the policy was meant to, over time, reduce the emissions, create a lower number.
That's right. And it's a very low number for Tesla because they only sell electric cars.
That's it.
Same with BYD. So these companies that only sell electric cars are going to be so far in the black or the red, whichever way you look at it, on emissions, they'll actually be entitled to sell credits to the car companies that go over. Now, we'll get to that in a minute, but it's been a massive week. And honestly, the most controversial week for the motoring industry that I can remember in this sense, in a lobbying and industry body sense, because Volkswagen, I'll read from the driven.io, which is a great website for electric vehicle news. Volkswagen quits car lobby after Polestar and Tesla exit. So this organization came out with a bunch of facts and stats and opinions on and I guess recommendations to the government around this policy, essentially disagreeing with it.
Which they weren't exactly happy with. Yeah, certainly.
And I believe they also put out a bunch of information like the cost of cars would go up by this much and all these different things. And Tesla looked at it and went, we think that's rubbish and we're out. And then Polestar said, hang on a minute, you're not representing us, we're out. But then for Volkswagen, now let's be clear, the Volkswagen group is Audi, Skoda, Cupra, Volkswagen. It's not just VW cars. It's the range that they have. It's a lot of vehicles. They resigned from the Chamber of Automotive Industries saying a strong fuel efficiency standard would be in the best interests of Australia.
Yeah. So the FCAI, reading between the lines here, were representative of the whole motoring company industry, not just the EV companies. So we're talking Toyota and all these other bigger companies that don't have massive EV sections their fleet. So they came out a little bit sort of in their defence, the saying, look, you know, these emissions, they've criticised how drastic they were in some cases.
That's right.
And so Tesla, Polestar and Volkswagen thought, you know what, that's a bit harsh, we're out.
At the same time,
have I summed that up right?
Pretty much. And at the same time, Toyota revealed its great support for the industry lobby.
I bet.
Because, see, now, this is an interesting one. And I had this conversation with Paul Marrick from carexpert.com.au only recently. When I saw this vehicle standard, this emission standard, I thought, oh, you know what, it's going to be great for Toyota because they sell so many hybrids.
Yeah.
Mate, it's not just the Prius from the old days. It's the Corolla, the RAV4, the Kluger.
Camry.
There's a Camry. Yeah. They have a strong hybrid base. So I assumed that their fleet would look good in these numbers. But actually, it's not good because they sell so many Land Cruisers and Hiluxes that tip the scales so far the other way that it is still bad for them. And they've come out to the point of saying, and again, I am summarizing and you know,
paraphrasing.
But Toyota's essentially said, and I go back to this credits conversation.
Yeah.
Toyota said, listen, if we are over the needle when it comes to emissions under this new policy, and we're required to either pay the government a fine or buy credits off another car company, over our dead body, my words, will they pay Tesla money? Yeah. They'll just pay a fine.
Right.
So they prefer to pay a fine to the government than give Tesla money because, and again, Paul made this point to me, Tesla's business model involves a lot of this in America.
Right.
There's something like
so they get the
and Europe. They get
receive credits
billions of
to
dollars
help the other
a
companies.
Year.
Wow.
To because they only make fuel Bonus. Efficient cars. They make billions a year.
Wow.
By selling their credits around the world to the petrol companies.
Well, you know what? You think about it. Tesla really fired the starting gun here, right? So they That's were right. the first into the market. Really put the blowtorch to these other companies to do the same. But because they're so, they've got the first mover advantage. So that's a little byproduct of being first to the market is these bonuses from these other companies.
See, now when you look at it, right, Volkswagen had previously, and I worry about these commitments that were made over recent years. They'd previously committed to stopping to sell petrol and diesel vehicles in Europe by 2035. That's only 11 years away.
Yeah,
And they're only launching four electric vehicles in Australia this year. That now the Volkswagen statement here is a little bit different to Tesla and Polestar. Tesla and Polestar have just said, we're out of this group.
See you later,
buddy. Take our money elsewhere.
Yep.
Volkswagen have said, Volkswagen speaks for itself on public and policy matters and they support the standard, but they fell short of resigning from the FCAI. So they're kind of going, listen, we're happy to be on the outside of this thing and we'll keep you doing whatever the other stuff you do, but listen, when it comes to making statements about EV and emissions and policy, leave that to us. How about you, blokes, stop what you're doing? I think it's fascinating because Toyota is such a massive company in this market broadly and the FCAI, you know, have to take into account the value they bring to the table, but it does feel a little blinkered for them to be so far into the Toyota world on this one.
My question without notice is what is the FCAI going to do now without Tesla and Polestar? It's not going to be the
Won't
end
make
of the
any
world.
Difference.
And is it going to make a difference? What representation that they formally gave to Tesla and Polestar when they were part of the FCAI, what are they going to miss out on now?
I would guess at a heartbeat that that those companies join the FCAI to be part of the vehicle sales reporting.
Right.
But interestingly, I understand BYD is not a member of the FCAI, but they do supply their sales numbers. So it appears you don't need to be a member. Maybe they didn't know that. maybe they thought they'd get some insights. You know, if I don't know, it costs tens of thousands of dollars or something, but maybe they thought they'd get some insights through government from the FCAI and their learnings and meetings and things. Okay. I don't know, but it is a fascinating time in the motoring industry in Australia, given how strong the Labor government is going after this general policy and whether or not it really does kind of hit here in Australia. So fascinating news in the last week or so when it comes to electric cars. Now, the other thing that I thought was fascinating was some research by the EV Council, and Behad Jafari heads that up, looking at the distribution of EVs.
Yeah.
Across
where
postcodes.
Where people live, where they buy their cars.
Because, mate, I've got to be honest, I wish this dug so much deeper because I have this sense that there's so many in my suburb.
Right.
There's not just in my driveway.
You're being an outer suburb. Do you call yours an outer suburb?
We are definitely an outer. We're not a metro.
Or the country that I call it.
Shut up. I'm on the outskirts of the metropolitan.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
And, you know, there are the western suburbs, northern suburbs, and we're talking Sydney here, but the same. Excuse me, same broadly applies in Melbourne and Brisbane and other places.
Okay.
But I think there's the research that they put out was intended to dispel the myth that EVs are for snobby inner city, you know, maybe South Sydney style drivers.
Right.
You know,
like me.
Those affluent big mansions and expensive harbourside units. I think that's
harbourside,
a myth.
I wish.
I think that's a myth among general population. So what they're doing here is dispelling that by saying, hey, guys, the number two postcode for electric vehicle registration was actually North Sydney. So that's, you know, that's city. So that's
Northern
inner.
Sydney.
It said North Sydney.
Yeah.
But then Northwest Sydney, which is, you know, like your Drurals, and maybe I'd clip into that. I don't know.
Yep.
That's number three.
Right. You know what surprised me, though? Inner city areas bought almost 39%. Of cars. So,
but 39% is not the majority. I think that's the point they're
making. I understand, but like being in a city, they don't drive very far. They're you know, maybe they have. Do they have areas to charge?
That's
or not?
The big thing, right? That you're going to see. I think this grow further into the suburb because it's easier to sell an EV to a suburban householder where they can park in a driveway, plug into a power point, or install their own wall charger,
which is sort of explains outer the where
that's
you
right.
live. But surprisingly, or not surprisingly, regional areas and rural areas, not so much.
No, of course.
Big EV sales.
You don't need to spend much
drive
time
a long
there
way,
to realize they're not fans
every day. Yeah, it's gonna be a bit of a harder sell, isn't it, to those drivers?
I think so. You know, obviously the sales. This was only 1 month's worth of sales they looked at as well. 9.6% of new vehicles were EVs, and that accounts for. We talked about these numbers a week or so ago, but I think this goes to show that it isn't. There's really no, stereotype of an EV owner.
Yeah.
An EV owner
Everyone's
can
different.
Be any age.
Yep.
Any age, any location.
Can live in any place, yeah.
Because, there's some young people who are, I don't know, wisely or not, you know, getting car loans at very young ages to buy Teslas because they're a very trendy car.
Yeah.
But there's also a stack of people 50, 55 plus who are buying EVs because, hey, you might have the disposable income or the asset savings to buy the EV and take advantage of the long-term lower cost.
Yeah. I think apart from the postcodes, I'd like to see the top two reasons why someone bought an EV.
Yeah.
Would also be interesting data. Don't you think?
Like
the savings.
You know what?
The prestige.
I'll make a note. I've got an idea.
Yep.
Let's create an EV survey.
Okay.
So we'll come up with
breaking news here.
We'll
on
come
the podcast.
Up with this is how we make
how
decisions
we
here. We just do them live
on the fly.
We'll come up with, and we need to keep it simple because I do a mobile phone survey every year or so. And if you dig too deep, people lose interest and whatever. But if we come up with like 10 questions, and obviously the first part is, you know, do you own one or not? And you've kind of, you've got two paths after that, you know, why would you or wouldn't you think about it?
Yeah.
And then why
when
did you
thinking,
or didn't you and all that kind of stuff? But I'd be fascinated to get those two tranches of people, the owners and the not, and then understand decisions that were made, likes and dislikes, those kind of things. It could be really interesting data for us, which
absolutely.
We can also use then as a promotion for this great show.
Absolutely.
I can think of some media appearances we could make using that data.
Boom.
You hearing what I'm saying?
I am hearing what you're saying.
Thinking man's thinker.
There we have it.
But we'll be fascinated. It'll be fascinating to gather that data ourselves from real people, real owners, and now our audience.
Decisions made live on the show. It's just amazing.
We don't muck around.
We've done this before.
We've started a whole
new podcast even on a previous show. So this isn't a first for us. This is how we roll.
Yeah.
Good work, mate.
Here's the thing. We don't have to take this to our superiors. We are. It's us.
You're looking at him.
Yeah. This is the board of two blokes.
No, that's a good idea.
Who's the chairman of the board? Just
interesting. I don't know, mate.
Can you have joint
chairman? We'll have to have a meeting about that.
It's not even a business, by the way. It's just a podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Handshake deal.
Let's take that information, the postcode data, and say, okay, great.
Yes.
But let's now turn it into a conversation about the real reasons why people are buying not buying EVs.
Like a State of the Union on electric cars. Electric cars, State of the Union.
We need a better name because that is very American.
Right.
State of charge.
Snapshot.
Oh, State of charge.
Loving it. There we go. State of charge.
State of charge for the Australian EV community.
That'll
network.
Be definitely cross-posted across a couple of websites, I've got to imagine. That
I can feel like we can make that happen.
That's awesome.
Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. Coming up, another EV owner. It's a very jarring sting, that one.
It's a beauty.
I mean, I know your people put together the sting, but they
not
are
my people.
They're like doof 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 doof.
We love a good beat.
It's a new feel. It's a new sound for the two blokes. It was your people, wasn't it?
It was my people.
Yeah.
And Two Blokes was my people too, just different style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very handy device.
Yes.
you're listening and watching Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars, thanks to NRMA Insurance and Union and Smart Dashcams. And we want to keep touching base with owners of EVs, because there is nothing like sharing the learned and earned and actually lived experience. So Rob is on the line. He is a BYD owner, Stephen. G'day,
BYD.
Rob.
BYD. Hey, Rob.
Hey, fellas. How are you?
Mate, very, very well. What was the thing that tipped you into the EV? What got you over the line with an EV first and foremost?
Well, there's a guy I know that I idolise and I really look up to. He had a Model S. Then he went to an EQE. And then I thought, honestly, I've got to have one of these.
Righto. No. Okay. Rob's referring to myself, if you didn't work that out.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. When he said someone I idolised, I thought, oh, stop it, Rob. Stop it. I thought he was going to talk about my YouTube review or something.
I'm glad I provided that inspiration, Rob. But the BYD has been making some inroads in the market. So you had choices. You could have bought a Tesla. You could have bought other cars. So what was it that brought you to BYD?
Being a bit of a tight ass, I couldn't afford a Tesla, and the stretch between my last lease car was a Tucson, and I thought that was 43, and I, you know, had bells and whistles, but the BYD Atto 3 with every bell and whistle you could ever think of for about 50, or at that stage they were 48.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, yeah, that's not a big stretch, and you know, I love the gadgets, and you know, you get everything that opens and shuts on this thing, so that's why I originally bought one.
And you're the kind of guy, and for full declaration, Rob is a long-time listener of the Two Blokes, and so we know him very well. But you're the kind of guy that doesn't just make a decision. You do your research. When you go into it, and this is a brand new car on the market too, let's be real, you're a very early adopter of the BYD brand, even though it's doing very well now. What worried you before you picked it up, having made the decision, but you know, and maybe done one test drive? I don't know what you've done, but what were you worried about when you took your own car out of the showroom or the dealership? What worried you before you took the car?
I suppose because I bought it in 2022 and I took possession of it back in February 23. Mm. What worried you? It's a new car. It's a new brand. What's the after-sales service? And, of course, you join the groups on Facebook and everyone's, you know, got an opinion. Mm. But the after-sales service was something I was concerned about, and the longevity of, okay, what's it worth in 5 years, or, you know, will it last? But that was one of the major things that pushed me to the BYD, not only the tech, was, you know, it wasn't like other Chinese cars that I'd looked at before in the petrol version that were – the build quality looked a bit iffy. This was impressive, and I think every review that I looked at, including your own, which I went back and looked at afterward, you know, I decided was saying, okay, the build quality is a surprise. Everyone says it's surprisingly good. So, and that was enough for me to go, all right, let's jump in there. And of course, because it was a novated lease, I thought, well, what's the problem? If I like it, I can pay it out after 3 years, and if I don't like it, I'll hand it back after 3 years. So that was sort of the safety net for me.
So what was your setup, Rob, with your charging situation? Mm. Had you had that sorted? Did you already have a wall charger put in, or are you a community charger guy, or a bit of both?
Yeah, well, I didn't use public chargers until I went for a trip to Sydney. As you know, I live on the Gold Coast, but I decided to get a 7-kilowatt home charger, you know, ZJ Benny, and so I put that in because the granny charger was okay, but I was travelling to Brisbane at that stage, and you'd probably spend 30% going to and from Brisbane, and then overnight you'd get the 30% back. But if you went on a longer trip, you'd have to worry about it. And I just went, oh, for a few hundred bucks, I think it was $700 to get the charger and a pretty similar amount to get it installed. It's just you don't have to worry about it. Every few days I just plug it in, or if I just feel like I plug it in, you know, it's done in a few hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you mentioned the trip to Sydney. I think you've got family down in Sydney, so it's one of those trips you would regularly do, regardless of the vehicle you've got. And again, you're a well-read person. You would have thought about this more than the average petrol driver coming to an EV. So how did that trip go for you? First time, knowing what you were going into, I'm tipping you knew the ups and downs of it before you went into it. How did it go first time around?
Yeah, it was good. I purposely chose not to go in school holidays just in case, because you worry about the waiting. But you know, I had to wait. I think it cost me, instead of diesel costing $2 a litre minimum, I think I was $65 to get down there and $55 to get back because I used an NRMA free charger. But I only had to wait. I only did like 4 stops, 20 minutes a stop, and it's 12 hours door-to-door. So I was prepared, and I think that goes for when you go in an EV, you go, I'm not going to get shitty if I have to wait. I'm not going to worry if I have to, you know, it takes a bit longer to charge because I knew what I was getting myself in for. And for going to Sydney once or twice a year, hey, 12 hours is still pretty good, and you've got to stop for essentials anyway.
All right, Rob, put your reviewer hat on now, mate. We're going to ask you, first of all, what you really like about the car. What's one thing that surprised you?
I suppose the, as much as it's a bit wanky, having the voice control, like you can say, open the sunroof, open the blind, open the passenger window or whatever. I use that more than I thought I'd use it. But having the two instrument dashboards, you know, the one in front where you don't have to look over to work out what speed you're going. Having the little one, it's a little bit
cluster.
It's a little bit small for old man's eyes. You know about that, Stephen.
Is that a little dig at the Model 3, mate? You don't have to look over. Is that what you're saying?
I think I heard the same.
Model 3, you have to look over? Is that a little dig?
Possibly. Yeah, but having said that, I would have liked the Cecil if I could afford it, but it just was just out of my price range.
Right,
but
Then obviously, conversely, now having owned it, and I know, for example, I'm aware that Rob has had to, because he's changed employment, he's had to end that lease. He's actually getting a new Atto 3.
You're obviously
happy enough with it. But what if you had the magic wand? What would you change about the Atto 3?
I think some of the safety stuff to get their 5-star ANCAP rating is sort of, it can be overbearing at times. You go, what's that beep? What on earth is that doing? You know, and you know, lane assist. It has everything that opens and shuts, but it's also sometimes annoying, and you feel like turning it off sometimes. But,
really?
As we've had updates over the year, updates probably 3 or 4 since I bought it, they've got better and better. I think they've learned from that, but it's sometimes be annoying to go, I know what I'm doing, mate. Just don't beep it.
I don't need a nanny. Leave me alone.
The thing I would say to anyone that had that experience about any car they test drive is, that's pretty much all cars these days. You know, they are all putting it through. Now, obviously, the more you spend...
With all respect to the EV9, I'm thinking... Remember the EV9?
Yeah, the beeping,
that
yeah.
was... Oh, you go over 60 and it's beeping. I'm thinking, okay, right.
That's what they've got to do now to get that 5-star rating.
Yeah.
So it may be a magic wand, but I love the fact that you've noticed a change. And I got to tell you, the EV9, I'm confident there was an update between the two that I drove, because I said to Victoria, because my kids noticed it, it's beeping. Well, come on, Dad, stop speeding. I don't think it was beeping as much. So I think they changed the number of beeps or something.
You mean they heard us. They might have heard us.
They might have heard us. So, Rob, final kind of shot across the bow. What do you say to people who are absolutely not in the EV camp? And you would have these discussions at barbecues and things.
Yeah.
What do you say to people who are like, nah, I'll never own an EV? What do you say to them?
Well, firstly, don't go on Facebook or Insta to get advice, because I mean, sometimes it's like you some of these guys who comment on these things they're playing anti-EV bingo. So just actually do some research, talk to people who have got them, because they're the ones who say, they're the ones, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't be picking up a new one in 2 days' time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's got everything. You just got to know what you're in for. Realize the infrastructure is not quite there for those long trips. But if you're just going around like the average guy does, 50 or 60 Ks a day, you'd be mad not to do it, because, as I said, I'm a tight ass and I'm saving a fortune in diesel at the moment. So I go past those service stations. I feel a little bit guilty when I put air in the tyres and not buy anything, but hey, I can live with that.
That's life, mate. That's what I feel.
You should get the premium air.
The only thing I pay for at a petrol station is a coffee nowadays.
Yeah. Well, good on you, mate.
So I'd highly recommend it, because, you know, it's the proof of the pudding. Talk to someone who's got one and they'll be the biggest advocates for it.
That's exactly why we're talking to people like you, Rob. Good on you, mate. Really appreciate your input and your insights, and enjoy the BYD Atto 3.
Okay. See you, fellas.
Cheers.
See you, mate. Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars is proudly supported by Uniden, and they've just released the Uniden Dashview 60 Plus. This is their first 5K resolution dash cam. 5K, even more detail, 150-degree wide-angle front-facing camera as well. It's got the Sony Starvis sensor. That means a lot because it works well during the day, during the night, all types of lighting conditions. That's the whole idea of having a dash cam, so I can record everything that happens on the road, and now in 5K resolution. So check that out, the Dash View range. There are others. There's also the iGo Cam range as well. Uniden has got you covered on the road for all your dash cam needs.
So, Stephen, we teased last week that you were driving a Kia EV6.
Yes, that's
I've got
right.
the big EV9.
Yes.
Where, how, what did you, had you ever driven this before?
I had not. No, this is a first for me. And I've got to say, just even looking at the car, very impressive.
Yeah.
Really nice design, really sleek look. What would you call this, hatchback? Hatchback more.
Yeah,
it's more, not, a, not quite a sedan.
Annoyingly, they're still going to call it in some way an SUV because it's a bit higher than normal.
Really?
But I personally, I'm with you. I call this, and remember last week I had the Ioniq 5?
Yes.
I call that a hatchback too.
Okay.
Even though it's bigger than your average hatch and all that stuff. So it's probably more a shooting brake kind of, but hatchback style. In the size, it's a mid-sized car though.
Mid-sized car, no, absolutely, and really sleek lines to it. I think I really like the front headlights and the back really minimal looking headlights as well. Well, what made me laugh is thinking, where's the charging port on this? And it's actually the right rear of the car. It's really blended in really well with the car. You couldn't tell
where
it was. So I like that. But interior as well.
How long did you struggle with that, by the way?
For a couple of minutes. But what I like is that EVs also have the little arrow pointing to the side. I knew which side it was on, but I'm thinking, hey, where is this thing?
You're doing a Marceau trying to work it out?
That's it. But look, inside you can tell this is built as an EV from the ground up. There's no transmission tunnel. It's all flat. There's plenty of room in there as well. Really annoying that you didn't get wireless CarPlay. Car of this quality,
now
give
on
me
that,
wireless CarPlay.
Kia and Hyundai have notoriously not provided wireless CarPlay. Like in the top level Kia Carnival, in recent years, not available.
Really?
But in the lower level, it was, right? Now, I spoke to an engineer at one of the companies, and they basically said it's kind of an argument between them and Apple and Google about what happens when you get in the car. Like, they've spent so much time and money on this operating system that they want you to see it, but they don't want Apple to be the default. So, but here's the thing. I think there's a change coming. Now, I mentioned Paul Marrick there. He said to me last night they were in a Hyundai of some sort recently, and while they had it had an over-the-air update and it gave it wireless CarPlay.
Boom.
I know for a fact that the Kia EV9 in America has wireless Apple CarPlay, but it doesn't here in Australia, so it could come. Bottom line, there's a chance that it'll get it, and it may roll back to some additions, but you need to be cautious. If you've got an older EV6, it may not have the hardware, but I think more recent ones might.
It was still good.
The EV6 starts at $78,000 for the base model Air. Goes up to 110 if you wanted to.
So this is what, like a Model 3 competitor then? Maybe slightly.
It would be a Y competitor, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a Y. Yeah, it's a bit more spacious.
It's got a bit more space.
It is spacious. I've got to say, I drove in it with my wife.
What'd Joe think?
She liked it. She initially thought that it was a sedan. And then now that you're, like I said, it's more a hatchback. And now you're saying it's more a SUV. She was saying it's a bit big. This is bigger than a midsize. Did you say it was a midsize?
Well, she drives
she's got a Kia Sportage. Yeah.
So it's bigger than that for sure.
It is bigger
I only
that.
Say SUV, and they probably call it that because it's just that. I think of SUVs now as just being the height of the car. So the height of the seat when you get in, because that's why a lot of people buy a more lifted car, is it's easier to get into and out of.
And does the EV9, your car, does that have the stalk to change the gears?
Yes.
Because this one has the
dial,
button, the dial. It's like the MG.
And also the
Niro as well, which I've looked at. But
we're off track a bit, but on that, it's a fascinating thing about the design of a car.
Yeah.
So I forced my wife to drive the Cooper today.
You forced her,
I forced her at gunpoint. Well, because she needs to drive it when I take the EV9 to get the tinting done and different things happen, right? You're going to need to drive
it,
babe.
You forced her to do it. So how did she enjoy that?
She was frustrated because she just hates new things.
Okay.
And especially my things. And so, you know, it's got a dial for the drive controls. And so she'd put it into drive and then do this to kind of park brake, and she'd get frustrated. But it doesn't take long. It's like the windscreen wipers, you know, the indicators are on the wrong side. Got used to it really quickly. Yeah. But it is a change. It's one of those little changes that you come to.
Yes,
and I actually
is.
Think that the centre dial is a better first move for someone from petrol, because then you know where it is.
Yeah. If I had a choice, I'd prefer the
stalk.
There's on the stalk. But
yeah, right.
I was very impressed with the cluster in front of the driver that actually stretched across to the centre of the car.
Yep.
Like, that's a feature that you get in
Mercedes.
The top line Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
So that looked really nice. And CarPlay, Android Auto, really, really nice. It's got like 580 Ks of range.
Right.
528 kilometres, sorry. Mm-hmm. 528 kilometres of range as well. The styling inside as well, it was a sort of step above what you'd expect from like Kia. My wife's Kia, she's had that for a while. It's an older car.
Yeah, of course.
The styling is actually really looked more European than anything. It's
right.
Really, really impressive. But just the whole look of the car, the stance of the car, I reckon really nice shape. Nice look to the car.
Yeah.
And drove like a dream too. And also pretty sporty if you want to put your foot down. Not that I'd recommend that, everyone, but does do pretty well. I'm going to try and find the figure for 0 to 100 here. Performance is no complaints whatsoever. The whole the length of the car. This is it's 4.695 meters.
Right.
So that's decent size.
Yeah.
And the width of the car is 1.89 meters, which is decent. Like, I parked this in a parking station the other day, and it was, parking station tight anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just fit.
So you mentioned performance. I want to take you to the car that I'm driving this week, which is the Genesis GV60 Performance. Now, this is, again, this looks like an SUV because of the kind of just scale of it.
Yep.
But again, it's that hatchback design. Genesis, and you drove the Genesis. Remember last year I got you one with the EQE? No, and there was a green, big green one.
It was a rose gold one.
But wasn't there a green sedan one we had at the same time as we had an EQE?
You kept that to yourself.
Okay.
Yep.
Bottom line, luxurious on the inside. Okay. Now, this is a $110,000 car as well, right?
Yep.
But I've got to tell you, I'm driving along, luxury and everything, but it's all white on the interior of this thing as well.
Uh-huh.
But on the steering wheel, often, you know, in a Ferrari, there's a race button and all this stuff, right? This thing has a boost button.
Boost.
So I'm sitting at the lights. I pressed the boost button, okay, and the seat hugged me. Right, sports seat came in, and it just hugged me.
Really?
And then the dashboard went red, and I put my foot down, mate. I could hear the wheels squeal. Right, this thing 0 to 100 in 4 seconds.
Wow,
and it's a heavy, like micro SUV kind of style thing.
Wow,
it is.
Hold the phone.
Phenomenal, like. I know that there are faster EVs out there, but this car is one of those cars that you, if you owned it, you would demonstrate. The only time you would use that boost button is to demonstrate to your mate, and it would blow them away.
Wow.
This, if someone hasn't driven an EV, this is just like the Tesla experience.
Impressive.
The first time.
Now, I had the all-wheel drive, didn't I? With the dual motor, I think I had.
Take your word for
that. That's 5.2 seconds, 0 to 100.
Right.
But if you go the GT AW or dual motor, AWD dual motor, it's 3.5 seconds.
Right. Now, you had the entry model, the Air. So you had the $78,000 car, which is pretty good. So that for you to have a wrap on it like that at the entry level.
It is really nice. And I think a good entry, a good first EV. And from a brand that people know so well, that's popular, it'd be an easy transition.
It is. Yeah. I would only, and there is a lot of positive comments from owners in forums and things. I would only argue that $78,000 is
for
still
a Kia,
is still a premium for a car that's trying to compete with the Model Y. Given and folks, just listen to the callers when we speak to people who own cars and why they buy them. I think that sometimes there's a real draw card to a Tesla, and so you've got to fight them away from that as opposed to just be a competitor.
But I think Tesla's become that comparison, isn't it? I even said it myself. Like, this is relative to Model Y or Model 3. So they kind of have set the benchmark in some of those areas, some of those categories.
Yeah.
But look, this Kia stands up on its own. A really nice car.
We have a bunch of cars coming up. Stephen's got the Kia Niro. We'll have the another Genesis, the G80. We have the SUV version of your Mercedes, the EQE 350 SUV.
Looking forward to that
one. I saw today on the road. Someone in my suburb. That's why I said my suburb is very EV-ish.
I've not seen my car on the road. Have you seen a few? I've seen plenty of Coopers on the road. I've seen Coopers.
Yeah, I've not seen an
EQE.
Over
in my area.
Yeah, I've not seen
where I live. Snobby area.
Yeah. Steve, I'm going to get you into the Mark E soon, which you'll love. And then, yeah, we've got a bunch of great cars to come in because we want to try and experience as many cars as we can because when we talk to people, and again, get in touch if you're looking to buy an EV and you want to answer those questions.
Chances are we've driven it.
And we've got feedback for you about what to look for. That's what we do here. Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars, proudly supported by NRMA Insurance and Uniden Dash Cams in your podcast feed and on YouTube every Monday morning at 5 a.m. So when you wake up, you can choose to listen on your way to work, listen at lunchtime, watch at night, whatever you want to do, we've got you covered.
Great way to start the week.
Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars. Stephen, see you next week.
See you then, buddy.